And do not, I beg of you, say more.
Damn it! I mean, dash it, I haven't started.
Then don't.
I must say, Isabella, I think you might let a fellow speak. I'm about to offer for you.
I would spare you pain, my lord.
And don't keep calling me my lord, as though you hadn't known me all your life. Deuce take it, you know I'm head over heels in love with you.
Oh, fiddle!
My whole life will be blighted if you won't marry me.
It won't. You will merely go on racing and gaming and opera dancing.
Well, you're out there. I shan't be able to. Because if I don't get married, I shan't have a feather to fly with.
Indeed. Am I to understand that you have offered for my hand as a means of extricating yourself from your debts?
No, no, of course I haven't. If that had been my only reason, I might have offered for a score of girls. Fact is, I never saw a female except you I could think of tying myself to, Bella. I'll take my oath I haven't. Ask Jill, ask Ferdy, ask George. Ask anyone you like, they'll all tell you it's true.
I don't wish to ask them. You would never have thought of offering for me either if your father had not left his fortune in that stupid fashion.
No, I dare say I shouldn't. At least, yes, I should. Of course I should. But the whole fortune left in trust and until I'm 25 or married? I'm 23. I'm all to pieces. You must see what a devil of a fix I'm in.
Yes. Certainly, I see. And I cannot conceive why you do not immediately offer for one of those scores of females who will doubtless be glad to marry you.
But I want to marry you. Damn it all, I keep telling you, I love you.
Well, I do not return your love. I think you are the most odious, abominable creature in the whole world, and I wish you will go away.
If you send me away.
I do. Go. Please go.
I shall.
Then go!
Straight to the devil!
Where I dare say you will find yourself mightily at home.
You'll be sorry for your cruelty, ma'am, when it's too late.
Where to, Governor?
Back to London. I'm going to marry the first woman I see.
Friday's Child by Georgette Hare, dramatised by John Peacock, with Ellie Garnett as Hero Wantage and James Frayne as Sherry, Lord Sheringham.
There's a female awaiting you, Governor.
It's Hero. Hero Wantage. Stop the carriage, Jason. Hello, Brad.
Hello, Sherry.
What's the matter?
Everything.
Those cousins of yours been bullying you.
I'm going to be a governess.
Going to be a what?
A governess. In Bath. Cousin James says so.
Never heard such nonsense in my life. Jason, get down and walk the horses.
Yes, Governor.
Is that wall mossy? I'm damned if I'll spoil these britches.
No. No, it's truly not. You can sit on my cloak.
Now, don't go on crying. You can't be a governess. You aren't old enough.
Cousin Jane says I am. I should be 17 in a fortnight's time.
You're not a pauper, Brad.
But that's what I am, Sherry. I haven't any money at all.
That don't signify. What I mean is, females of your breeding aren't governesses. Never knew your father myself, but I know all about him. Very good family. Cursed, I'd better than those bagshot cousins who took you in. It's a very good thing I chanced to come down here, for the Lord knows what silly trick you'd have tried to play off if I hadn't caught you in time.
No, and I'm so glad to see you again, Anthony. I've been waiting here. I thought perhaps you'd come by.
Good God, did you? Why?
Cousin Cassie said you were waiting on Isabella.
Ha!
You don't sound very pleased, Sherry.
Pleased? Much I have to be pleased about.
Oh, I know she wouldn't receive any of the other gentlemen, though they came all the way from London. But I did think she would see you.
Well, she did. And for all the good I got for it, I might as well have stayed home.
Sherry, you don't mean that you have offered, and she has refused you?
Yes, I do. And that's not all. She said my character was unsteady, and I've no delicacy of principle. That from a girl I've known all my life.
It isn't true.
I'm a gangster and a libertine, and she don't like the company I keep. And
can she have heard about your opera dancer, do you think?
What the devil do you know about my opera dancer? And don't say I told you, because I never did.
No. Oh, no, Edwin told me. That is,
He told Cassie because they had a quarrel, and it was really she who told me. Do you mind about Isabella very much?
Of course I mind. But if she thinks I'm going to wear the willow for her sake, she's mistaken.
What are you going to do, Sherry?
Just what I told her I would do. Marry the first female I see.
That's me.
Oh, good God, there's no need to be so cursed literal. I know it's you, as it turns out. Why not? Damn it, that's exactly what I will do.
Marry me?
Why not? I don't want to talk like a coxcomb, and I dare say I may want for principle and have libertine propensities and spend all my time in gaming hells, besides being the sort of ugly customer no woman of sensibility would stomach, but you can't pretend you wouldn't be far more comfortable with me than being a governess in Bath.
Oh, Sherry, don't, please. I know it's a hum, but please, I wish you will not.
It's no such thing. In fact, the more I think of it, the more it seems to me to be an excellent plan. I know it ain't a love match, but I've done with love now. And in any event, you won't find me the sort of husband who's forever kicking up a dust over trifles. I shan't interfere with your pleasures, as long as you keep them discreet. And you needn't fear I should be forcing my attentions on you. A marriage of convenience, that's what it'll be. Dash it, it may not be as romantic as I dare say you'd have liked, but you can't deny it'll be more amusing than being a governess. Hero, will you marry me?
Jill, I want a word with you.
Hello, Birdie.
Oh, it's Sherry.
Thought you was in the country, Sherry.
So did I. You're back.
Well, good God, you can see I am, can't you? What are you doing here at this hour? That devilish dressing gown.
I spent the evening at the Daffy Club.
Foxed again, were you? Tell me if I ever saw such a fellow. Gil, I want your help.
Anything in my power. No, you've only got to give it a name. As long as it isn't to carry a message to George.
Carry a message to George? Why the deuce should I want a message carried to George?
Taken one of his moods. Came smash up to me in Boodles yesterday asking where he was. If I had my wits about me, I'd have said he'd gone off to Leicestershire. But I told him he was in Kent offering for Isabella. You know how he feels about her. Deuce sorry, Sherry. Never at my best before noon.
Tell George to take a damper. That's not what I've come about. Where does a fellow get hold of a special licence? Now, what's the matter? Don't tell me you've never heard of a special licence.
You don't mean a marriage licence.
What else should I mean? Thing you have to have if you want to get married in a hurry.
She's never accepted you.
She? Oh, Isabella. Lord, no. Wouldn't look at me.
Oh, good God. I wish you will not burst in on a fellow with a shock like that. Now, who wants this special licence?
I do.
But you said she wouldn't look at you.
Can't you think of any other female than Isabella Milbourne? I'm going to marry someone else, of course.
Someone else?
Sounds to me like a hum.
Damn it, I must marry someone. Shot to pieces if I don't.
Well, who is she? You've never offered for the Stowe girl, Sherry. Not the rabbity-faced one.
No, of course I haven't. You don't know her. She's never been to London. I ran off with her yesterday. She's the veriest chit out of the schoolroom.
Oh, dear old boy, you haven't run off with a schoolgirl, have you?
Well, she ain't quite 17 yet.
There'd be the devil of a dust kicked up.
No, they won't. The old cat of a bagshot woman was packing her off to be a governess in some rubbishing school in Bath. Hero! Chitty used to go bird's nesting with me. I couldn't have that, demi, if I could. Besides, I have to marry someone to inherit my fortune.
Isabella?
Ah, well, yes, of course. The incomparable. But I can't marry her, so it might as well be Hero.
Oh, Sherry, I mean, really. You can't do this.
Well, I'm doing it. I'm going to be married in a church. Today. All right and tight, and I want a special license. So how do I get one?
Freddy!
This is Ferdy Fakenham. He's some sort of cousin of mine, so you may as well call him Ferdy like the rest of us. You're bound to see a lot of him. Gil, you met before the wedding.
George Rootham would have come along too, sent you his compliments and wished you both happy, or some such flummery.
Yes, confess the wedding comes too near the bone. It's shook him badly, poor old boy. Mere mention of a licence has gone off in the dumps again.
Yeah, we shall all four gather at Fenton's for an early dinner, pay a visit to the theatre, and wind up with a snug little supper at the piazza.
Yes, but Sherry, dear boy, Lady Sheringham, wedding night, won't want a party.
Fudge, what the devil should we do, pray? Can't spend the whole evening looking at one another. Hero, you'd like to come to the play with us, wouldn't you?
Oh, yes, do let us. I'd like it of all things.
Knew you would. And you would like Gil and Ferdy to go along with us too, I dare say.
Yes.
Then that's settled. Fenton's Hotel, coachman. Don't be late, Gil.
Dear little soul, you know. Seems to think the devil of a lot of sherry.
I'll tell you what, Gil.
Well, what?
I don't know. Better look in at Limmer's since we're so close. Have a third of Daffy.
Been thinking. Carriage for Lady Sherry. Can't keep driving her about in hacks. Not the thing.
No, not the thing at all. I'm glad you put me in mind of that.
Must have a carriage. Landaulet.
Baruch, it's all the crack nowadays. You can't have Sherry's wife driving about in a landaulet like a dowd.
Sherry?
Oh, no, I'm going to be all the crack.
So, you're come back again, my dear Sherry. And without a word. I begin to think I must have offended you.
Hello, Monty. No offence at all. I'm devilish glad to see you. Want to present you to my wife. Hero, this is Sir Montague Reevesby, particular friend of mine.
Sir Montague?
Oh, but this is most unexpected. You must allow me to offer you my felicitations. Ah, my deepest felicitations. Married today, I must think myself fortunate to have been amongst the first to make Lady Sheringham's acquaintance.
Join us at the piazza for supper, Monty.
Thank you, I am engaged otherwise. But I will promise myself the pleasure of waiting upon Lady Sheringham, formally, at no very distant date.
Shouldn't have invited him. He's a bad man.
No, fiddle. Nothing amiss with Monty. You don't know what you're talking about, Ferdy.
Bit of a commoner. Always thought so.
Nonsense.
You know what Duke says?
Your brother Marmaduke is a bigger fool than you are.
He says the Montes and I have returned. And I don't say he's right. It's what he says.
Midnight, the end of my wedding day.
You look the most complete romp.
Oh, no.
Just like a kitten.
No, do I, Sherry?
Yes, you do. I think it's your silly little nose. That or the trick you have of staring at a fellow with your eyes wide open. I think I shall call you Kitten. Suits you better than Hero.
Oh, it is the greatest affliction to me. I would much rather you should call me Kitten.
Off to your room, Lady Sheringham, and sleep. I've some letters to write.
Yes. I know I am Lady Sheringham, but I have the horridest feeling that I shall suddenly wake up and find it all a dream.
When I think of all the things I've had to do today, it seems more like a nightmare.
Yes. I suppose...
No, not being married. I didn't mean that. I dare say I shall like it very tolerably once I've grown used to it. Well, look at the family house tomorrow. Good night, Kitten.
Good night, Sherry.
It is my duty to inform you that Miss Hero Wantage has done me the honour of becoming my wife. Should you be wishful of addressing your felicitations to her, a letter to the Viscountess Sheringham, care of Fenton's Hotel, will find her. Believe me, etc., etc., Sheringham.
It is a shocking thing, to be sure, Isabella, my love. To marry a wretched little nobody like Hero Wantage, without a penny to her name, when the whole town has known him to be at your feet this age past.
You are forgetting, Mama, that he offered for me, and I refused him.
It cannot add to your consequence to have him running off straight away to wed another.
Hero Wantage? My son, my
Antony married to Hero Wantage. Hearts warm in water, quickly. I will leave no stone unturned to rescue my son from so ruinous an entanglement. He will doubtless throw me into the street and install his wretched bride in Sheringham House, which his sainted papa brought me home to 24 years ago.
You know, kitten, I don't think you'll like to live here.
No, but I will if you wish me to.
Well, I don't. Never could stand the place. Later on, when you're older, more up to snuff, you know, I dare say we may decide to live here, but... Danny, place feels like a tomb. Let's go. I'll tell Stoke to manage the whole for us. He's the family's man of business.
Your lordships can scarcely have considered the expense of maintaining a fourth establishment.
Dash it, I've only got two places. Oh, you're thinking of my little hunting box in Leicestershire, aren't you? Well, I don't count that.
Oh.
I'm a rich man, aren't I?
A very rich man, but your lordship was good enough to entrust me with the task of ascertaining the extent of your lordship's obligations, and I fear that the sum...
Badly dipped, am I? Oh, well, you best sell me out of the funds and be done with it. But I must have a house I can live in.
I know of a place in Half Moon Street...
I'm so glad we decided to take away the old fireplace from the kitchen and install a clothes stove.
What the devil do you know about kitchen stoves?
Well, not very much, but Mrs. Groombridge says that they are all excellent contrivances, and there is a great saving of coal.
Well, that's something at all events. Now, here's some champagne. You'll like that, kitten. I can't allow yourself to be everlastingly maudlin your inside with such stuff as rat of fear. Drink up like a good girl. A glass of wine with you, my lady. Debbie, kitten, you're the best wife I ever thought to have. Upon my soul, you are. Here's to you, brat.
Well, I'm sure you are quite the best husband, Sherry.
Sir Montague rees me to see you, my lord.
Show him in. Show him in.
Yes, my lord.
Devilish glad I married you, kitten. It wasn't what I set out to do, but it answers famously. I thought it would.
Sir Montague Reesby, my lord.
My apologies for intruding, Lady Sheringham. Please forgive such informality. I have come to see if Sherry would like to join me with a few friends for a game of faro. But I fear I have come on a fruitless errand.
Oh, Lord, no, nothing of the sort. You won't mind leaving you, will you, kitten?
Of course not. I'm on the point of retiring.
You're a good girl. Dash if I don't rent a box at the opera for you after all.
Well, take it.
Is there anything else, my lady?
No, thank you, Groombridge. I'm content. Excessively.
Well,
Aunt Jane, Cassie, how do you do?
I wonder you can look me in the face. Upon my word, I dare say you have never worn such a dress in your life.
You know very well that I have not, cousin.
Whatever have you done to your hair? You look so strange, I should hardly have known you.
It is the very latest fashion. My maid did it.
Fine feathers make fine birds. I see you have set yourself up in the very latest mode. I suppose we shall have you setting up your carriage and renting your box at the opera in imitation of your betters. When I consider... However, I did not come to quarrel with you, and heaven knows I am thankful to see you creditably established, even though you may have had to accept an offer made to you in the fit of pique to do it. I'm sure it would not surprise me to find that you are now too grand to recognize the humble cousins who gave you a home when you were left destitute in the world.
No, indeed I am not so ungrateful, and I would be glad to find husbands for my cousins if I could. Only Sherry says...
And pray, what may your husband say?
I've forgotten.
I abhor prevarication. I am sure you need not fear to repeat what he said, for it does not matter a fig to us what such a rackety young man may say.
Well, the rackety young man said he wouldn't have you in the house because he don't like you. Do pray sit down, Aunt Jane, and let me ring for Groombridge to bring some fruit and a glass of wine.
No, thank you. I am sorry to see that your exalted position has not led you to mend your manners.
That's a damn thing, kitten. That fool of a man, Groombridge, has lost my... Oh, my God.
Come, Cassie, my love. It is plain we are not welcome in your cousin's house.
Oh, pray do not take it, pet Aunt Jane. Poor Sherry is not feeling quite the thing today. He will be sorry presently, I dare say.
Lord Rootham.
Lady Sherringham.
George, I'm so glad to see you. My cousin Jane and her daughter were just leaving.
Goodbye, Lady Sherringham.
Oh, George, I was never so glad to see anyone. I don't know where Sherry has hidden himself. Did you want him?
Oh, no, no. Though I shall be happy to see him, of course. I came to pay my respects and to discover if you would care to watch a balloon ascension at 3 o'clock.
Well, there is nothing I would like better. How kind it is in you to be thinking of me, George. Thank you very much.
Oh, no such thing, I assure you. Well, I thought perhaps you might not have witnessed the spectacle. It is an odd circumstance that Miss Milbourne has not either. Oh, hang it, kitten, the long and short of it is that if you would but offer to take her in your carriage, I think Miss Milbourne would like it excessively.
Well, George, I will.
And if you could but persuade Sherry to be one of the party, nothing could be more snug.
But what has put you in such spirits? Isabella is not... Oh, George, she has not accepted you.
No, but... Look.
A pink rose.
She was wearing a posy of them, pinned to her dress last night. This one fell into her lap, and Seven had the temerity to demand it of her, as though he had but to ask, and she must submit to his wishes. But she held it out to me, and said with the kindest smile, and the most speaking expression in those glorious eyes, that I should have her rose if I cared to take it. If I cared to, I shall carry it next to my heart until I die. She could not have done so had she not a preference, could she?
Oh, indeed she could not. Oh, it is the most touching thing I ever heard.
Hello, George. My God, kitten, what a scrape you put me into just now.
If you could but have seen your face. But look, see what Isabella has bestowed upon dear George.
A dead rose?
Well, she gave it to him last night.
Did she, by God? What a flirt. I'll lay a monkey she did it to make Seven jealous. Don't tell me he wasn't there. You can't humbug me.
Oh, if I thought that...
Oh, she would not be so cruel. Don't heed him, George.
If I believed she was trifling with me so heartlessly, I would grind it under my heel.
No need to make a damn mess on our new carpet. Throw it out the window.
Oh, I don't know how you can be so unfeeling.
Well, dash it, a fella can't carry a lot of withered rose leaves about in his pocket. Just look at the thing already.
I suppose it will fall to pieces.
No, no, you must press it between the leaves of a book, and then it will keep its shape. Sherry, George desires us to go with him to witness a balloon ascension. We are to take Isabella along with us, if she cares to come. You will like to go, will you not?
What, to watch a cursed balloon go up? No, I wouldn't. If George wants to look like a cake, he may do so, but he ain't going to drag me into it.
Very well. I will invite Algernon Gumley to share in the treat. I'm sure, kitten, you will find him a very good-humoured gentleman.
As long as you remember Lady Jersey as our guest at the opera tonight.
I will be on my very best behaviour.
I do so love to watch the dancing.
So do I, Lady Jersey. Indeed, I think even more so than the singing.
Charming, totally charming.
Oh, Sherry. Sherry, is that your opera dancer?
What?
Goodness.
No, Sherry don't admire her dancing as much as the dark ones on the right.
Yes, that is what I meant, Gil.
How dared you? Best behavior. Didn't I tell you? Didn't I warn you to guard that damned indiscreet tongue of yours? Oh, Sherry, is that your opera dancer? No, it was not my opera dancer, and you may take that for your impudence.
Oh, Sherry, don't. I didn't mean to say it. I forgot we were not alone.
If you had the smallest elegance of mind, it would not have entered your head to have said it.
Well, but Sherry, she did so look at you and smile that I could not but wonder... But I quite see that I should not have said a word about it, and I'm very sorry, and I will never do so again.
It will be better for you if you do not.
Oh?
Indeed.
Why not? Indeed, I shall say what I choose, go where I choose, and do what I choose.
Will you, by God?
Yes, I shall, and it is of no use to say, will I, by God, because it was you who said we would not interfere with one another.
I said that? And swear I never in my life said anything so damn silly.
Yes, you did. You said I should not find you the sort of husband forever kicking up a dust over trifles. You said that as long as I was discreet...
Well, you ate. In fact, there was never anyone less discreet, with no more sense than that damn canary Gil was fool enough to give you.
It is just like you to say it is all my fault, when it was you who told me about bits of muslin and opera dancers. Gil says you have no business to talk as you do in front of me, so it is just as much your fault as mine.
Oh, so that's it, is it? Not content with putting me to shame in public, you must needs discuss the matter with Gil. Upon my word, if that don't beat all, no doubt you asked him if he had an opera dancer too.
Yes, and he said...
What?
He said he had not.
Have you no sense of propriety?
Much more than you have, for I do not have opera dancers or get foxed or... Oh, I wish you'll go away. You're unkind and unforgiving and unreasonable, and I hate you.
I am obliged to you, ma'am. I have not the least notion of inflicting my presence on you another instant, and will wish you a very good night.
Sherry?
Well?
Will you have a little ham?
No, I thank you. I will not.
Or some more coffee?
No.
Sherry?
Well, what is it now?
Nothing.
Oh, for heaven's sake, don't start to cry.
Perhaps I'd best go out of the room then, because I can't help crying when you're so dreadfully unkind to me.
I'm not unkind to you.
Oh, Sherry, it is so very like you to say that when you know very well you've used me quite shockingly. You always did so. But you never called me ma'am in that horrid way before, and I would rather you boxed my ears than did that. Indeed I would.
Serve you right if I did. No, really, kitten, I'm devilish sorry I hurt you. But of all the things to have said... However, you won't do it again.
No, truly I won't.
Lord, I've given a monkey to have seen Gil's fizz when you asked him if he'd an opera dancer. And as for my opera dancer, that is all over and done with now that I'm a sober, married man.
Can you not have them if you're married?
Not if you've a wife who spends as much money on trumpery gowns as that.
One is the gown I wore when we drove out to Richmond, and you particularly commended it. The second you shall see at Almack's tonight.
Our dance, I believe, Miss Melbourne.
Oh, Sir Montague, thank you.
I was before you in the list, Monty, old boy.
What?
I'm certain of it.
Now, look, Sherry...
For old time's sake, Bella, my sweet life.
Sherry, how can you? You are quite shameless. Oh, I had not thought what a long time it is since I danced the waltz with you.
Too long, by Jove. Ah, Bella, you should never have refused me. What a couple we must have made.
I never liked you as well until you gave up wanting me to marry you, Sherry.
I? Good God, don't I carry a broken heart in my breast?
You hide it admirably, wretch. You did not wear the willow for my sake for as much as one day.
If there weren't so many people watching, do you know what I would do, Bella? I'd kiss you. Dashed if I ever saw you look more beautiful.
For shame, Sherry. You are a married man.
Lord, yes, so I am. What's become of Kitten? I left her with Gil.
I'd give a pony to see the old fellow waltzing.
No, by Jupiter, he's ratted. She's dancing with George.
Yes. How well they suit, to be sure. I'm happy to see George in better spirits.
Kitten can always cheer the poor fellow up.
I should like to know what the deuce Sherry means by making Isabella laugh like that. Auntie made her blush a moment ago. I saw her.
Oh, do not look at them. If I were you, I would not let her see that I cared whom she danced with.
Well, I do care. Besides, I don't see what would get into Sherry to make him flirt with her when he's married to you. But that is what he's doing. There's no getting away from it.
Well, if I do not mind it, I'm sure you need not.
Do you not mind it?
Only very little, George. If we went into the other room, we need not see them. And you could bring me a glass of orgeat, and we should be comfortable, don't you think?
No. There is no comfort for either of us.
By Jove, turning down an offer of the night's rouge et noir.
Sherry, look, that poor girl.
Not even Pharaoh tonight, Monty. What, kitten?
There, by the...
They told me at your lodging that you was coming.
For God's sake, do not cast me off.
My good young woman, you are making a mistake. I fancy I have not the pleasure of your acquaintance.
Acquaintance? Oh, my God!
Monty?
Will you disown your own child? Look!
Good God. I never saw you before in my life. You are mad.
You said it should be well with me. You promised me. You swore to me.
Oh, the poor creature.
For the Lord's sake, Sherry, get your wife out of this. We shall have a crowd about us in a trice.
Yes, my God. Here, Kitten, into the carriage.
Oh, but the baby.
No, really, Kitten.
Oh, don't cry. Only tell me what it is, and indeed I will help you.
Ask him if he did not promise me marriage.
For God's sake, Monty, take the girl away. I never set eyes on her before in my life. If you are wise, you will summon the watch and have the wench removed.
Monty!
Here, for the Lord's sake, Kitten.
Yes.
Get her into the carriage, will you?
Come with me. The baby will take cold. You look after you, won't we, Sherry?
Yes. I mean, well, never mind that now. Drive them home, Jason. I'll follow.
Never seen anything to beat. I mean, the fellow just walked off. Ratted by was it? Bad. Very bad.
Mm-hmm. Dare say it is Reevesby's baby.
Girl seemed very certain of it.
Dash it, if every bit of muslin.
Well, it didn't look to me like a bit of muslin.
What are you going to do?
Demi, I'm not going to do anything. It ain't my affair.
Well, what does Lady Sherry mean to do?
Seemed very taken with the baby.
I dare say you'd like us to leave you, dear boy. It's a delicate situation. You won't want guests.
Oh, no, you don't.
Well, just as you please. Only thought you might prefer to be alone with Lady Sherry.
Well, I wouldn't.
Groombridge says the young lady will be spending the night in the spare room. If it isn't just like Kitten, now what am I to do? I'm dashed if I'll have Monty's cher ami in my spare bedroom.
Yes, baby too. It's bound to squall. Very, very awkward. Don't know what you can do.
Well, for God's sake, let's have a little brandy.
Sherry, it's dreadful. Her name is Ruth and she's told me the whole. I never thought anyone could be so wicked. The dear little baby is indeed Sir Montague's own child, but he will not give poor Ruth a penny, nor even see her.
I know, Kitten, it sounds devilish bad, but you only have the girl's word for it, and I dare say if we only knew...
Might be a mistake.
No, Ferdy. She is not a wicked girl, I am sure, and she did not know what she was doing.
They all say that.
Thing is, Kitten, it ain't our affair, and we...
You would not be so unkind as to turn away at this hour of night. Oh, Sherry, you will let me help her, will you not? Let her go to Leicestershire and help Mrs. Goring at the hunting box. And I think we should give her what I give to my Abigail. It is a little expensive, but we must consider the baby.
Very well, but mind this, Kitten. Not a word of this business to a soul.
No, I will not mention it. That is, he is paying particular attentions to Isabella. Do you not think that I ought to warn her that he is not a proper person for her to know?
On no account in the world. Isabella has her mother to keep an eye on her, and you may depend upon it Mrs. Milbourne has a very good notion of what Monty is. I wish to God you had a mother too.
Does George live in Half Moon Street?
I thought he lived in Ryder Street. Has he removed from there? He said nothing of it to me, and he was with me not 5 minutes ago.
I'm well aware of that. What was he doing here? I suppose you will say he called to see me.
Oh, no. He came to ask my advice about something.
Who ever heard of a fellow's wanting the advice of a chit like you?
But indeed he did. He wished to know my opinion of a, well, a little BA that he means to send Isabella.
It seems to me that Bella Milbourne ain't the only female George has an eye to.
Why, you cannot mean that you suspect George of having an eye to me. Oh, Sherry, he does nothing but talk of Isabella.
Well, I don't know. The fact of the matter is, you seem to have grown so devilish pretty since I married you. There's no knowing what will happen next.
Have I, Sherry? Have I really? I expect it's just the new way I have of dressing my hair and all my grand gowns.
Yes, very likely. I must say, I never thought you above the ordinary myself, but if you will go on like this, the Lord only knows where it'll end.
You do not mind my growing to be pretty, do you?
Oh, I don't mind it. Thing is, I didn't bargain for it, that's all. And if you'd have fellows like George forever haunting the house, I can see it'll be a dashed nuisance.
Is
Isabella is wearing Severn's roses.
Dear George, do not heed it. Indeed, she could not have carried violets with that gown.
She is wearing Severn's roses.
Only because they were so suited to what she is wearing.
I told her that if she wore my violets, I should know what to think. I have had my answer and may as well go and blow my brains out.
Sit down. I think you should not have sent that message. She may not have quite liked it. Now, have you spoken with her?
If I came within reach of that cursed fellow Severn, I should very likely find a means of picking a quarrel with him.
No, don't do that.
That one so fair should be so heartless.
I am sure she is no such thing. I feel quite certain Severn has not engaged her affections.
She will marry him for his possessions and his rank. It's plain enough.
You're being unjust. She has more heart than you believe.
Once I believed. Oh, it don't signify. I should not be boring on about my affairs. But you cannot know the anguish of having one's love scorned, indeed hardly regarded.
I know. Indeed, I do know, George. But you must not allow yourself to think there is no hope. If one truly loves...
Well, yes. Where there is a heart to be won, of course, you are right. But in my case... Oh, I've made you cry, and I would not do so for the world.
Only for your sake. Indeed, I am the happiest creature imaginable, in general.
Are you? I hope you may be, for you deserve to be.
Damn it, Gilly, kissed her! Did you see that? Over there, George, kiss her!
Sherry, for God's sake, dear boy, remember where you are! Can't choke George to death here!
Why, Sherry, what is the matter? Were you looking for me?
Yes, for God, I was! Damn you, girl, let me go!
Let me escort you back to the ballroom.
Yes, but, Sherry, you must not mind George's kissing me. Indeed, there was not the least harm in it. Was there, George?
Dear kitten, there was much pleasure.
Of course there wasn't any harm in it. All the same, you oughtn't to kiss Sherry's wife, George. And as for you, Sherry, if you hadn't drunk so much champagne punch, you'd have more sense than to kick up a dust of... Well, dash it, you know what I mean. She's as innocent as a newborn lamb.
She? I don't need you to tell me why wife's innocent, I thank you, Gil. But as for that, that rake, that wolf in sheep's clothing, that commoner?
No, dash it, you can't call George a commoner. All a mistake. George would... Look, I wish to God, George, you will beg Sherry's pardon.
Name your friends, my lord.
Sherry, consider, dear boy, not yourself. Can't be in your senses. Put it down to the champagne.
Pay no heed to him, George.
With the greatest pleasure on earth. Gil, will you serve me?
You can't. I'm going to name Gil myself.
Oh, no, you ain't. You can name Ferdy.
I shall name both Ferdy and Gil.
Well, you can't, because I've bespoke Gil already.
Dash it, you must have other friends besides Gil.
I have, but if you haven't enough sense to keep this affair between the four of us, I have.
Yeah, something in that, Sherry, dear old boy. Won't do it to spread about George has been kissing your wife. Look, if you must call him out, I'll act for you. Between us, Gil and I will fix it up all right and tight. But mind this, George. If you choose pistols, you're not the man I thought you was.
Let him choose what he likes.
Pistols!
It makes no odds to me!
At 25 paces!
George!
I send for George. Have you taken leave of your senses?
You must know there is nothing he would not do for your sake.
Indeed.
I hope you do not think that George cares a button for me, because nothing could be more nonsensical.
It matters not to me whom he cares for.
You have only to beg him.
Beg him? I would sooner die an old maid. Upon my word, I had not thought it possible. I am to send for George, and to supplicate him not to engage in a duel, after he's been making shameless love to you. Nothing. Nothing could prevail upon me to do it. Pray tell me why you, who are on such intimate terms with him, do not supplicate him yourself? I am persuaded your words must carry as much weight with him as mine, if not more.
But, kitten, you should not have come here, and in your own carriage. Good God, if Sherry gets wind of this, there'll be the devil to pay.
Nothing can be worse than it is at this moment. Oh, please, George, beg Sherry's pardon and let us all be comfortable again.
I have never drawn back yet from an engagement and by God, I will not do so now.
Oh, yes, but...
Oh, besides, I... Damned if I'll apologize for kissing you. I liked it excessively. If Sherry had a grain of sense, he'd know it didn't mean a thing.
You said you would not wish to make me unhappy.
Well, no, by Jove, for the world.
But don't you see that if you kill Sherry...
Oh, I'm not going to kill Sherry. What put that into your head?
But they told me. Gil and Ferdy.
I won't hurt a hair of his head. I shall delope and fire into the air.
Yes, but then he may very likely kill you.
Sherry? At 25 yards? Couldn't hit a haystack. Now go home, and not a word to a soul.
You know, kitten, if anything were to happen to me at any time... Mind you, I don't say anything will, but you never know. Well, what I mean is I've made all the proper provisions and no strings tied to them, so you'll be able to marry again if you choose.
I never, never should.
No reason why you shouldn't. Only don't have George, Brad. He wouldn't suit you at all.
Sherry, don't. Nothing will happen to you.
No, no, dare say not. But I thought I might just mention the matter. And if it did, I wouldn't wish you to fret about it, you know. Night, kitten.
Night, Sherry.
Got the pistols?
Gil has. Thought we'd best engage a surgeon, too, just in case. Still, dare say he won't be needed.
You never know. Mist's lifting nicely. Couldn't have a better morning for it.
You were right, Hero. I have not been able to sleep for thinking of it. I will do what I may to dissuade George from this affair.
Oh, I knew I could not be mistaken in you, Isabella. I'm very much obliged to you, only it's too late, for they went off some hours ago to Westbourne Green.
They have gone. And you can sit here, eating your breakfast as... And you called me heartless.
Oh, but there is nothing to be worried about. George promised me he would not hurt a hair of Sherry's head. He said he would fire in the air.
And what if it is Sherry who kills George?
Oh, George assured me Sherry could not hit him at 25 yards, and I expect he must know. Do let me give you some coffee, Isabella.
You fired into the air! Damn you, George! Will you stop being noble?
Good God, you hit that tree! Can't you do better than that?
I meant to hit that tree!
Yeah, who's being noble now? You must have been practicing.
I've a dash good mind to take my coat off and see if I can't draw your claret. What I ought to have done in the first place.
Not before we've had breakfast. Oh, I'm sorry, Sherry. Never meant to do it, you know, and really there wasn't a mite of harm in it.
Now go to the devil, if I ever met such a fellow. Gil, did you think to order breakfast, Ferdy?
Gil?
How dared you ask George not to blow a hole through me?
I did not want you to die. What else could I do? Only I'm afraid I've made Isabella very angry.
What the deuce has Isabella to do with anything?
I asked her if she would speak to George, but she did not seem to understand.
You asked her to intercede with George for me?
Oh, dear. Perhaps I should not have mentioned that. Oh, please do not mind it.
Not mind it? You've done your best to make me the laughingstock of town.
Oh, no, truly not. Isabella was not in the least amused. I fear she believes that George has been flirting with me. Would you be so very obliging as to tell her that it was no such thing?
No, by Jove, I will not. Upon my word, what next will you ask me to do?
But if she knew that you do not mind George's having kissed me...
But I do mind!
Do you?
Of course I do. A pretty sort of fellow I should be if I did not. The thing is, you were never fit to be cast upon the town with no one but me to tell you how to go on.
Sherry.
There's only one thing for it. You have no mother to advise you, so it must be for mine to teach you what you should know. I should have put you in her hands at the outset. However, it's not too late. I shall take you down to Sheringham Place tomorrow.
No! You cannot be so cruel. I will not go. Your mother hates me.
Stuff and nonsense. I tell you, there's nothing else to be done. I don't say my mother ain't a deuced silly woman, but she knows the way of the world and
no,
she...
No, Sherry, don't send me to her. She has said from the start that I'd ruined your life. I'd rather you kill me than send me back like that.
No, my mind's made up. You shall go to Sheringham Place tomorrow, and I shall take you there.
I can see that he is quite tired of it all and wishes he had never run off with me. So I made up my mind to go away. But then I did not know where to go to, so I came to you, Gil.
because I thought you would advise me.
But, Kitten, you can't leave Sherry like that. I mean to say, you're married to him, better or worse. It's not the thing at all.
I know, but perhaps he will divorce me and then he can be comfortable again. You see, it was all a dreadful mistake, and I ought not to have married him. Sherry doesn't love me. He never did love me. If I had not been such a silly goose, I should not have... For he never pretended that he loved me, you know.
I know.
Yes. I thought you did, George. So, you see,
I... Why the devil can't you say something, Gil, instead of standing there like a dashed waxworks?
Thinking.
Don't... You are certain you could not bear to go to Sheringham Place, Kitten?
Oh, no. No, I've made up my mind that I will become a governess, just as Cousin Jane always said I should be. I thought Gil might know how to set about it.
Mm. Do you know Gil?
No, Ferdy.
No, I didn't think you would. I tell you what, ask my mother. She's bound to know.
But she ain't going to be a governess. I told you I'd been thinking. Well, I've got a notion.
But it's all very well, but she can't leave Sherry like this. Dash it, it's impossible.
No, it ain't. Best thing she could do. Going to take her to stay with my grandmother, Lady Saltash.
Yeah, very sporting old lady, your grandmother. I dare say she and Kitten may deal extremely.
But perhaps she might not like to have me to stay with her.
Yes, she will. Like it above all things. I dare say you may be very useful to her. Got a pug dog. Nasty, smelly little brute. I took a piece out of my leg once. Well, you could take it for walks. Once exercising. At least it did when I last saw it. Of course, it may be dead now. Good thing if it is.
Don't see that, Gil, old boys. Kitten can't take the pug for walks if it's dead. No point in her going to Bath.
Bath? Does she live in Bath? Oh, nothing could be better. If it was to Bath, I was to have gone to be a governess. Had Sherry not married me? He does not like the place, and he will never look for me there. Oh, Gil, how very kind and clever you are.
So you think I was wrong to decide to take Kitten to Sheringham Place, do you?
Yes, I do.
Much you know about it. Good God, man, what else could I have done? We could not have continued as we were. Dash it! We have not been married much above 4 months, and if you knew half the crazy things Kitten would have done if I had not been at hand to prevent her...
Ah, put your finger on it, Sherry, haven't you? Didn't do crazy things when you were at hand.
In the devil's name, how could I always be at hand? Did you expect me to change my whole way of living simply because I was married?
Expected you to settle down a trifle, dear boy. I've never fancied the notion of it myself, which is why I've stayed single. It seems to me a fellow can't continue in the same way once he ties himself up. And what do you mean to do now?
Find her, of course. I tell you, I'm at the wit's end, Gil. The thing is, I suppose a fellow grows used to having a wife, for all he may not think it, and... Damnation, I miss her like the devil, Gil. It's been 3 weeks now. Where is she?
Oh, depend upon it, my love, nothing is more tiresome than the person who is forever bemoaning her fate. Recollect that no one has the smallest interest in the troubles of another... To be shutting yourself up because you fancy your heart is broken will not do at all. And do not heave sighs. Nothing could be more vulgar.
I promise I will do my best, Lady Saltash. But it is sometimes hard to smile when one is so very miserable.
Oh, fiddle-dee-dee. I've known Antony any time these 20 years, and you've gone the right way to work with him. I dare say he may be tearing out his hair by the roots by this time.
But I never, never meant him to be made unhappy or anxious.
Oh, you are besotted. I have a very good mind to wash my hands of you. It will do him a great deal of good to miss you.
But perhaps you do not perfectly understand that he only married me because Isabella Milbourne refused to accept his hand.
Do not talk to me about that, Miss Milbourne. It is my belief that Sherry never had the smallest real affection for her. Oh, very pretty, all this talk of his having married you in a fit of pique. I am reading of such things forever in trashy novels, but in all the course of my life I have not yet observed it to happen. A man whose affections have been strongly engaged would not have relinquished his suit as easily as Sherry seems to have done, my dear. Depend upon it. The truth is that he was not in love with either of you. What his sentiments may now be, I do not pretend to say, but if you wish to know how you stand with him, let him think that you have no particular desire to return to him. If he wants you, he will move heaven and earth to win you. I am determined that if Antony comes to look for you, he shall find you living in tolerable comfort without him.
If Sherry may amuse himself, I do not know why I should not too.
Excellent! Oh, do you wish to break Mr. Tarleton's heart? I wish you may do it. He is quite taken with you.
Why is he quite old, ma'am?
Quite old? If he is a day more than 35, I will never wear my new wig again.
Oh, my poor Sherry. You look so wretchedly. Have you had no word from Hero?
Not one. I've sent my man of business onto it. Told him to call in the runners if need be, though God knows I don't want to. But what else can I do?
Have you spoken to Lord Rootham?
George? He don't know anything.
No, I only thought... Well, it has sometimes seemed to me that George displays a partiality for Hero.
Oh, there's nothing in that. Good God, you should know George don't give a button for any female but yourself. I don't know what to do. And now my mother comes here, wanting to take me to Bath, of all places. And let me tell you, Bella, that while I have no wish to offend you, if her ladyship meant that you have the power to persuade me into going, she was never more mistaken in her life.
I know it. You never cared a button for me. I believe it must always have been Hero, though perhaps you did not know it until you lost her.
You said something of the sort the day I offered for you, and I told you Seven would never come up to scratch. We're an unlucky pair, aren't we?
You have known me since we were children, and if you are to believe that I am wearing the willow for Seven, well, I cannot bear it. Perhaps I did a little like the notion of being a duchess, but when I thought how it would be to be married to him, to be obliged to live with him for the rest of my life, I could not.
What? You don't mean he made an offer for you and you refused him?
Yes.
Well, by God!
You may imagine how deeply in disgrace I am with Mama. The only person who's been kind is your mother. And that is in part why I'm going to go with her to Bath.
Bath? Ah, it's a rubbishing place. Bath! When was I talking of the place last? Said I should be obliged to go there. Great God, why Bath? School, governess. That's what she's done. Some damned Queen Square seminary. Tell my mother I'll escort her to Bath with the greatest pleasure on earth, but she must be ready to start tomorrow.
Kitten, Lady Sharing, Miss Wantage, I mean.
George, what are you doing in Bath?
Kitten, it's the deuce of a coil, and I do not know what you would wish me to do. Gil is away in Melton.
Well, nothing has happened to Sherry.
Oh, no, no, but he is even now on his way here.
To find me? No, I quite see. But it seems very odd of Sherry to be coming here if it were not to find me, for he cannot bear Bath.
Well, the truth is that the Dowager has taken a fancy to drink the waters, and nothing would do for her but that Sherry must escort her. She brings Miss Milbourne with her.
She brings... Oh. That is why Sherry... Yes, I see. It was very kind of you to come to warn me, dear George.
There was no use in my trying to keep it from you. Fergie is with him also. He invited himself, intent on keeping Sherry from discovering you.
Was Sherry so very set on going with them?
I do not believe he cares a button for Isabella. Since you left him, there's been no coming near him. Spent his time looking for you all over the country. But what am I to do? Do you wish him to know that you are here?
Oh, no, I beg you. If he should not be pleased to know that I was here, I could not bear it. He would feel himself bound to take me back, and I am not going back unless... Unless he loves me. But why am I talking like this? He does not come here for my sake, but for Isabella's, and you know it as well as I do.
If I thought that, then...
Lady Saltash!
It does not appear to me that either of you knows anything. Let me beg of you, my love, not to put yourself in a taking before ever that husband of yours has reached Bath. And as for you, George, you may escort me to the pump room. And as for you, my love... I fancy the barouche is at the door already with Mr. Tarleton to take you to Kelston.
I dare say you find Bath a tedious place and myself quite a bore.
Oh, no, that I certainly do not.
I am persuaded you find me a dull dog with one foot in the grave and not a spark of romantic fervour in my whole composition.
No, how should I be so foolish? I dare say you could be excessively romantic if you wished to be. And as for having one foot in the grave, oh...
But I fancy you did think so when we first met.
Yes, it is true. But that was before I became properly acquainted with you.
Tell me, Miss Wantage, do you consider me past the age of thinking of marriage?
No, indeed. Why, have you some such notion?
Yes.
Then, of course, you must become romantic, Mr. Tarleton. Females are so silly, you know. They much prefer romance to solid work. Oh,
solid work. Of all abominable phrases. Do you remember telling me once that you thought runaway marriages the best? Are you still of the same mind?
Yes. Well, that is, it is the only kind of marriage for me. I do not think it would suit you, however.
You've never told me anything about yourself, Miss Wantage. I have the greatest regard for Lady Saltash, but I cannot believe that you are happy in Camden Place. Do you intend to remain permanently in your present position?
Oh, no. It would be impossible, for I have not the least claim on Lady Saltash. Already I feel that I have trespassed on her kindness for too long. I am not perfectly certain what I shall do, but you must know that I was trained to become a governess, and it was with the object of finding an eligible situation in some seminary that I came to Bath.
Governess? You? You're not serious. You cannot mean me to believe that you wish for such an existence.
Oh, no. I shall dislike it of all things. In fact, I once said that I would do anything rather than become one. But if I do find such a post, perhaps it will not be so very bad after all.
Have you no relatives to provide for you?
There is no one. At least, I have a cousin who gave me a home when my father died, but she could not house me forever, you see. And to tell you the truth, I do not like her, nor she me.
I had not imagined that this could be so. I had thought, this alters things indeed. No wonder you dream of romance and adventure. You should be called Cinderella, I think.
It is odd that you should say so. I have sometimes thought that too. You do not know the whole, and I cannot tell it to you just now, though perhaps one day I may. I was very like Cinderella.
Except that as yet no prince has come with a glass slipper to try on your foot.
I think it is time now we return to Camden Place, Mr. Tarleton.
You dreamed of romance and they made you a governess. You must have your romance in despite of them. How would you like to be carried off, married out of hand, costed and cared for by a husband who would adore you? The happy ever after ending, in effect. Is that not what you have dreamed of?
All girls do when they are young and foolish. But real life is not quite like the fairy tale.
But you were made to live a fairy tale life. And I am determined you must do so.
Please do not, Mr. Tarleton. I know you're only funning, but I would rather you did not.
I will do nothing to displease you. Shall I see you at the dress ball at the lower rooms tomorrow night?
Oh, I'm not perfectly certain. I believe not.
Oh. Oh, that is too unkind. Did you not promise me to let me put your name down for the minuet? You will not be so cruel as to leave me without a lady to dance with.
Lost sight of the lady's carriage now, Sherry.
Don't signify, Ferdy. Mama knows the way round Bath. She'll find a crescent. My God!
What?
Did you see who that was?
Yes. By Jove, yes. Down to my... I can believe my eyes. George, yes. You see him too.
Do you think I'm blind? I saw him, and what's more, I saw who was walking on his arm. My wife!
It's, Lady Sheringham.
Yes, you fool!
Look out, Governor!
Get after them! You black-hearted scoundrel, George!
Thought you would be coming to see me.
Jason tracked you here.
Glass of port with you?
The only use I have for a glass of port is to throw it in your damned face.
No, you don't. There's no use your trying to call me out, because I'm not going to meet you, and even if I did, you couldn't kill me. Probably wouldn't hit me at all. I don't blame you for wanting to try, mind you.
Oh, you don't you? Very obliging of you, by God. What were you doing with my wife?
Escorting her home.
The devil you were. Met her by chance, I take it.
I did. But if you mean wasn't I aware that she was in Bath, yes, I was.
You dare stand there, coolly telling me you knew where she was?
Yes, I own it. It was a cursed trick to play in Othello. I never liked it above half, but I gave my word to Lady Sherry I'd not betray her, so there was nothing for it but to hold my peace.
She told you where she could be found. She took you into her confidence. George, answer me this, or I'll choke the truth out of you. Did she run away from me to you?
No. Ran to Gil. Purdy and I were there. To be frank with you, Sherry, she told us the whole and begged us to help her hide from you. She was in a sad taking. In fact, I was within an ace of setting off to find you there and then to call you to account.
You had better have done so. A precious set of friends I have all these weeks. Where is she?
She is residing in Camden Place, the guest of Lady Saltash.
Lady Saltash? Gil's grandmother? It passes everything, so it does. The guest of Lady Saltash. And tolerably well entertained, I collect. Not obliged to earn her bread. Not in any kind of straits.
Oh, damn it, you should be glad of that.
Glad of it? Of course I'm glad of it. But when I think, and you knew, you and Gil and Ferdy. By God, it beats everything, so it does. A pretty fool you've made me look between the four of you.
No, we haven't. No one knows the truth save ourselves. Lady Sheringham goes by the name of Miss Wantage here.
And taking my wife ain't wearing the willow for me.
No. She was devilish upset at the start of it all, but she seems to be in a famous shape now. Likes Bath, you know, likes the balls and the concerts, and has made friends here. Very taking little thing, kitten. I fancy she is quite the rage in Bath. Dash it, Sherry. What kind of a fellow do you think I am? I never came near the place till I heard you was on your way. And I had to warn Lady Sherry. You'd have done the same in my shoes.
To warn her? As though I'd been a regular Bluebeard. That don't beat all.
Well, you scared her into running away from you.
I've nothing more to say to you. I'm going to see my wife.
It's no use your going there tonight. She's gone to some party or another. They don't expect her back until after midnight.
Gone to a party? She must have known I'd seek her out immediately once I'd seen her here.
I dare say she did. I fancy she don't want to see you, Sherry. But I know she attends the Grand Pump Rooms every morning to take the waters.
Does she, by God?
Of course, it's all Gil's fault.
You may think yourself devilish lucky. I don't give you a leveler. Very lucky indeed, Ferdy, let me tell you.
I'm sorry, dear old boy, I do. Very glad you don't have to. Always bellies to mend with me if I have a set to with you.
Chicken-hearted.
Well, Anthony.
Anything you like, Sherry.
Lady Saltash.
How do you do? You are acquainted, I believe, with Miss Montage.
Yes. I rather think I am.
Good morning, Lord Sheringham. Oh, you're quite comfortable here, dear ma'am. You will not mind me leaving you.
Oh, no, 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 child. Be off with you. I know very well you are a gob to go. I only wish you may not come to grief one of these days. And mind you have a care to her, Mr. Tarleton. Do not be letting her spring your horses in the middle of Bath. Sit down beside me, Sheringham, and tell me all the London gossip.
I beg you'll hear me excuse, ma'am.
Oh, very well, Sheringham, certainly.
If Miss Wantage wishes to drive, I should be happy to take her in my carriage, for I have the greatest desire to renew my acquaintance with her.
But Miss Wantage has promised to me.
I shall be much obliged to you, ma'am, if you will afford me the favour of a few minutes' conversation with you alone.
Some other time, if you please. Indeed, I'm engaged with Mr. Tarleton this morning.
You're trembling. Do not be alarmed. Who was that ferocious young man? I did not properly catch his name.
Lord Sheringham. You will think it very odd of me, and I cannot explain it to you, but I have a particular desire not to be alone in his company.
You need have no fear on that score.
Isabella, did you see that shameless creature flaunting herself before our very eyes?
Dear Lady Sheringham, if you do not dislike it, I own I have a great fancy to see Wells.
Well,
the scheme is that we should go in three carriages, a party of six, you know, to see the cathedral tomorrow. Miss Chalfont assures me that we may do it easily in the daylight and be back again in Bath in excellent time for dinner. Sir Montague Reesby has been so obliging as to offer me a seat in his curricle.
If you take my advice, Bella, you will not go jaunting about the country with Reesby.
Thank you, Sherry, but since my mamma sees no objection to Sir Montague, I do not know why you should.
I am sure Sir Montague is everything that is not unexceptionable. Only if you are set on going, my love, I wish I might prevail upon Antony to escort you, for I am sure you would be more comfortable with him.
On the contrary, ma'am, I should not be at all comfortable with him. For of all things, I most abominate a man in a fit of the sullens.
Take care. If you set up my back, I'm dashed if I'll gallant you to the lower rooms tonight.
Oh, good gracious. I had not the smallest expectation of your being willing to go to the ball.
I want to see my wife.
Oh, she will surely not be present. She would not have the effrontery.
I know of no reason why she should not go anywhere she chooses. And as her name is down to dance the minuet with some fellow of the name of Tarleton and is engaged to George for the first cotillion, I assume she certainly has the intention of being present.
Of all the abominably stupid evenings, it's 10 times worse than Almack's.
I should like to know what the devil you meant by telling me it was I who had engaged Miss Milbourne's affections.
Never told you any such thing.
No, but what she's good as told me, sir.
What's put you in such a myth?
I begged to be allowed to take her into tea, and she said she was promised to Monty. I stood up with her for the second country dance, and she behaved as though she had never met me before.
Well, let that be a lesson on you not to dance attendance on my wife.
What reason have I ever given her to think that I would so much as look at another female?
Upon my word, if that doesn't beat all. If kissing my wife at the Fakenham's ball isn't reason enough...
She knew nothing of that.
Oh, yes, she did. Kitten tried to persuade her to beg you not to meet me.
Good God! Then that was why... I must speak with her.
You won't do it here. Pretty pair of cakes we must look. Running after a couple of females who won't have anything to do with us. And nothing to drink but this cursed tea.
She'll accept Monty's offer for her.
Not she.
She's going in his curricle on some damned expedition tomorrow. I will not waste my time here any longer. They have a very tolerable chambertin back at the White Hart.
Dashed if I won't come with you.
Salter. My love, go back upstairs, take one glance in the mirror, and decide for yourself whether you wish to show your husband or anyone else that woe-begone face.
Oh, ma'am, do you think he will come this morning? I'm persuaded he is thinking only of Isabella. When I saw him stand up with her for the country dance, I felt ready to sing.
Why, what else should a man of spirit do, pray, when you was flirting so scandalously with that boy out of the nursery? The affair is going on famously. Sheringham scarcely took his eyes off you the whole time he was in the rooms.
He left while we were having tea. I thought, I wondered if perhaps he would come up to me after tea and make me dance with him.
And carry you off willy-nilly, perhaps, at a Bath assembly? Unheard of.
Oh, he would not care a jot for that. It would be just the sort of thing Sherry would do if he wanted to. Only he didn't want to. If he should come here this morning, ma'am, would you perhaps be so very obliging as to see him and discover, if you're able, what his sentiments truly are?
Make yourself easy, my love. I will see him, I promise. He deserves to be kept on tenterhooks, and if I had my way, he should be. However, it is high time this ridiculous situation was put an end to, for if I do not mistake the matter, my friend Jasper Tarleton has lost his heart more entirely than I was prepared for. You may tell Sheringham from me that he may come round at 7 o'clock precisely.
But will she consent to his coming, ma'am? Are you positive of that?
Oh, she will consent, never fear. And you need not tell him that she is ready to fall upon his neck, Gilbert. Let him come in a humble frame of mind. I dare say it will be for the first, and very likely the last time in his life.
Oh, Pup, do hurry. We're nearly home. Oh, 6 o'clock. Within the hour, he will be with me. Do come along. What is it? Sherry! Oh, you horrid little dog! But how light, Sherry, to have thrown you in on top of me!
Come in!
Antony! Oh,
Forgive my intrusion, Lord Rutan. I am so thankful you are not yet gone out. I am in such anxiety over dearest Isabella and fear that some mishap may have occurred. Miss Chalfont is returned already and assures me that Isabella and Sir Montague set out to drive back to Bath by a different road quite half an hour ahead of the others. I am responsible for dear Isabella, and how should I ever be able to face her mamma if any accident were to befall her? There is nothing for it, Antony, but for you to set out instantly in search of her in your curricle.
Oh, isn't there, by Jove? No, I thank you. I warned Bella not to go jaunting about the country with that fellow, and she may take the consequences. I am dining with my wife at 7 o'clock, and will not break that engagement for any start of Bella's.
You may leave the matter in my hands, Lady Sheringham. This concerns me more nearly than Sherry. I shall set forth on the instant, and you need have no fear that I shall not only restore Miss Milbourne to you, but I shall certainly call Reesby to answer for whatever carelessness or villainy he has committed.
No, really, George, really, I say, 10 to 1 it is due to some trifling accident, and they will arrive here at any moment. But dash it, Monty would not... George! I think I'd better go after him, Sherry. You know what he is.
Such a gallant.
I don't like Monty, but I can't let George murder him. Your very obedient servant, Lady Sheringham. I wish you good fortune, Sherry, dear old boy.
Yeah. Governor!
Jason, what the deuce do you want?
Please, Governor.
Jason, you're fucked.
Aye, aye. It's the missus.
What? What has happened?
She's parked on the beam, Governor.
What?
Oh, so help me, Bob, Governor. It's God's truth. Lugged off with that well-bridged swell. I see the whip t'other day.
It's a lie!
Half torn and water, quickly!
I'll wish myself back if I ever told you a lie, Governor. Nor wouldn't tell no lies about the missus. See the whip my very own daylights, Governor. Swell got off with the missus on the Radstoke Road, what leads to Wells, yes?
But he won't get far. Not if I know it, he won't.
Why won't he?
Because I fought the code while he was waiting for the missus.
What did you steal from him?
Here, Governor.
Wallet and purse. He may have some loose coins in his pockets, but you're right. He won't get beyond the first stage if he's travelling with hired horses. He doesn't know the truth. He thinks she is free to marry him. You are positive he took the Radstock Road, Jason?
Took my darn oath he did.
Mine is the blame, all of it. I have come by my deserts and I know it. My damnable brutality have led her into this flight. Lady Saltash must have compelled her to consent to my visiting her tonight, and rather than meet me... But she must not. I cannot let her run off with this man before I... Before I've arranged to set her free!
Tell you what, Sherry, I'll come with you. Dash it all. Never want to leave my friends in the lurch.
Let me down here a while, postboy.
I will, sir. All the absurd, delightful stars.
Miss Vantage, my love.
You!
But my sweet love, who else should it be?
Oh, I thought you were Sherry.
Thought I was whom?
My husband. Oh, how could you play such a cruel trick on me?
Your husband? I beg of you, ma'am, pray do not... Here, you, postboy, what's the figure?
18 shillings, sir. The hire, 1 chaise and pair, 1 and 6 pence a mile.
Yeah, my wallet. My purse. My dear, pray do not cry so. I promise you I will set all to rights. The only thing is, Miss Vantage, I have been robbed of my purse, and here is this fellow expecting to be paid for his services. Are you able to lend me a guinea?
I am not. I have not my purse with me.
Oh, my God, now we are in the basket.
I wish I were dead.
No, 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 don't do that. Heavens, what a coil. But how could I have guessed? My dear child, you cannot stay there. Do, pray, come down and into the inn. Really, I don't know whether I'm on my head or my heels. God, what possessed you to bring that creature?
It was your fault. Oh, I did not want to bring him in. Oh, I thought it was just like Sherry to throw him in on top of me.
Don't begin to cry again. We shall have the whole stable yard about us in a trice. Only come inside the house and I will set all to rights.
But, sir, before you go into the house...
No one can set all to rights, for I'm utterly ruined. My husband is coming to dine with me and I shall not be there and he will never, never speak to me again. And if he finds out this dreadful scrape you put me into, it'll be worse than all the rest.
He shall not discover it. We will make up some tale that will satisfy him. But who? Why? No, come into the inn where we can be private.
But, sir...
As for you, fellow, you must wait. Go into the tap room and order yourself a glass of flesh and blood at my expense. And here's a crown for you to keep your mouth shut.
come out.
Innkeeper, here's my card. Oh, no, curse it, that's gone with the rest. But my name is Tarleton of Frensham Hall near Swainswick. You will have heard of it.
I don't know what it has got to do with me, sir. But what I was thinking was that it seems a queer set out to me that a gentleman wishing to travel only to Wells wouldn't drive in his own carriage. Ah, and at a more seasonable time of day, what's more. Not being wishful to give offence, sir, you understand?
I am well known in Bath. Yes, and they know me at the Old Down Inn, so you may satisfy yourself only by sending to inquire there if a Mr. Tarleton has ever changed horses with them.
If you're so well known in Bath, how comes it that postboy don't seem to recognise your honour? That's what I'd like to know.
Pray, no more. Take my watch and signet ring as pledge, and serve us coffee in your private parlour. How could I tell? I thought you would like it. Good God, was there ever such a hideous coil?
Never. Never. I cannot imagine why you should suppose that I should want you to run off with me. And to bring this horrid little dog, too.
But, my dear, surely you were aware that I've been head over heels in love with you these weeks past.
In love with me? But you might be my... I mean...
No, I might not. Not your father, if that is what you were about to say. But how came you to be living with Lady Saltcash under the name of Miss Wantage? Who is your husband? Do I know him? Is he in Bath now?
Yes. Oh, yes. He came there in search of me because we had had a dreadful quarrel. Oh, he must not find out what has happened tonight. It is much, much worse than all the other scrapes I was in.
God, but who is he? Not, I do devoutly trust, not the ferocious young gentleman of the pump room.
He is not ferocious. He is the dearest and best person in the world. It was just that he was in a very bad temper because I went off with you. And when I think that he called Lord Rootham out only for kissing me once, I'm afraid he will be in a much worse one if this should come to his ears. Oh, I do hope there may be some way of preventing his discovering it.
Indeed, so do I. In fact, to be honest with you, my dear, my knees are already knocking together so that I wonder you do not hear them.
It don't signify. What must he think when he finds no one in Camden Place at 7 o'clock? Oh, do you not see that he will suppose I did not wish to meet him? And he will be so hurt and so angry. Oh, how could I ever explain it? It was not my fault. I am utterly undone.
Let me think. You have set my brain in such a whirl. You could not tell him that you had gone to dine with some friends, I suppose.
No, I couldn't. He was coming particularly to see me, and oh, we were to have a buttered crab and a neat tongue with cauliflower.
What you were going to eat is of small consequence.
It is Sherry's favourite dinner.
Never mind. You'll be able to give him many such dinners, I dare say. And really, my child, at a moment like this, to be vexing yourself over...
Oh, no, I shan't. Because he will be so angry that he will utterly cast me off, and I shall be left upon the world with only this odious little dog and a canary to love.
My dear Miss... I mean, my dear Lady Sheringham, I feel certain that your husband would not use you with such undeserved harshness. Do I entreat
yes,
you?
Yes, he would. Any husband would after such a scrape as this.
Upon my word of honour, I assure you, the man who could do so would be the veriest monster. Come.
Your coffee, sir.
Innkeeper.
Yes? I'll be coming, sir.
Be so good as to show us to a private parlour and to send up some refreshment for this letter. There's been an accident to my carriage, and we've been obliged to walk to this place.
I'm afraid, Your Honour, the only private room I have is bespoke.
I shall be glad of a cup of hot coffee. Hot, if you please. But I prefer to drink it here, in your public room. And while I am doing so, I shall be obliged to you if you will have horses harnessed to a chaise to convey me instantly to Bath.
I know that.
I do not care what kind of a vehicle I ride in, but a vehicle I must and will have. Who's the chaise standing in the yard, pray?
What in the world are you...
Shh, I'm listening.
It is hired by the party in the parlour, ma'am. Indeed, I have nothing to offer by my own gig, and it would not be suitable.
I thank you. It'll do excellently, if you'll be so good as to hire it to this gentleman.
Ma'am?
Now, my dearest Miss Milbourne, let me assure you that you're entirely mistaken. Come, do not let us quarrel. The most unavoidable and unfortunate accident...
If you attempt to lay a finger on me, sir, I shall scream at the top of my lungs.
But, my dear ma'am, only listen to me. I should not dream of touching you, but...
No! And no doubt you did not dream of trying to force your most unwelcome caresses upon me and mauling me in your arms as though I'd been the sort of vulgar wretch you are plainly accustomed to dealing with. No doubt, too, you would have been so obliging as to have unhanded me without the inducement of a pin's being stuck into you.
If in the intoxication of finding myself alone in the presence of one for whom I cherish the most passionate devotion, the most...
Oh, I beg you will spare me more of these transports. If passionate devotion led you to suggest to me that since you were stranded in so remote a hamlet, there was no help for it but for me to become betrothed to you, I can only trust that I may never encounter such devotion again. You sought, sir, to entrap me into marriage with you, since you were aware that you had no hope of winning my hand by more gentlemanly methods. But you are much mistaken in my character if you suppose that I was so weak and foolish a female as to submit to your infamous proposal.
I am saved. It is Isabella Milbourne and the most odious man imaginable.
But Lady Sheringham, consider a moment. Are you sure?
Yes, yes. And in any event, how could I leave poor Isabella to Sir Montague's mercy?
From what I have been privileged to hear, I should judge poor Isabella to be very well able to protect her virtue.
Pray, hold Pug's lead, dear sir.
Hero!
Oh, poor Isabella. How muddied you are, and how odious for you to be in such a fix. Do, pray, come into the parlour. There is not the least need for you to hire the landlord's gig, for I will escort you back to Bath in my chaise.
How in the world do you come to be here, and at such an hour? Oh, Hero, what fresh scrape have you fallen into?
I think it is the outside of enough for you to be accusing me of being in a scrape. I overheard all that has just passed between you and Sir Montague, and I am certain there is one person whom you would not wish to hear of this. For you are not so heartless as to give George such pain. I know you are not.
Oh, Hero, do not. Pray, say no more.
Oh, I'm sorry. I did not mean to hurt you. Indeed, I did not.
Very affecting, Lady Sheringham. And pray, where is your husband? Not here, I fancy. In fact, he has not been overmuch in your company of late, I apprehend. You have been a most determined enemy of mine, have you not? I wonder if you will live to regret it. Do you know, I almost believe that you may. Is it too much to hope that we may be permitted a glimpse of the gentleman who is no doubt concealed in that private parlour?
No, it is not too much, sir. Get up and I will serve you a little more home brew.
Oh, shame to draw steel upon an unarmed man. Dastard!
That for you, sir.
Oh, Mr. Tarleton, and you did it all for my sake. I am excessively obliged to you.
Oh, God, what have I done? My cursed folly. But when I heard him address you in such terms, I could not help myself.
No, no, of course you could not. Landlord... Oh, he's gone. I will get the postboy to fetch a surgeon.
Oh, for heaven's sake, no, the merest scratch.
Ostler! Ostler, I say!
Sherry!
Kitten!
Sherry!
Thank God I've found you. You can't run away with that fellow. I won't let you.
I never meant to. I thought Tarleton was you.
It should have been me. And if I hadn't been such a gudge... Kitten, you little wretch. What a dance you've led me. Kiss me.
But how did you know?
Jason saw you. I thought it was because I'd given you such a dislike of me that you could not bear even to speak to me. I felt like blowing my brains out.
How could I dislike you? I have loved you all my life.
It wasn't until you ran away I realized how dearly I loved you. My fault. It was all my fault.
Told you it was a mistake, Sheridan. No wish to disturb you, but a couple of postboys are peeping at you round the corner of the stable door.
Let them peep. Where's this fellow Tarleton, you little fiend? Dashed, I'm not sorry for the poor devil. But what the deuce did he mean by running off of you like that?
Oh, Sherry, I'm much afraid it may have been because of something very foolish which I once said to him.
I might have known it. Oh, what it's like seeing your last hope come first past the post to be pulling you out of a scrape again, Brad.
Oh, well, I'm excessively relieved to hear you say so, Sherry. Because to tell you the truth, it is a worse scrape than you know. In fact, it is quite shocking, and the landlord says he will give us up to the constable. But perhaps if you'll be so obliging as to pay the reckoning for poor Mr. Tarleton, he may relent. He had all his money stolen from him, you see.
I know he had. Jason forked him. Where did that come from?
I bought him. It's Pug. I was taking him for an airing when Mr. Tarleton abducted me. And somehow he got into the chaise, too. Sherry, this is Mr. Tarleton.
Sheringham, if I may have only one word with you alone, I fancy I can explain everything to your satisfaction.
You don't have to do that. I don't blame you for running off with my wife. Did the same thing myself. But you hurt. How was this?
You know what I think, Sherry? It's been a regular turn-up. Someone's had his cork drawn. Claret flowing copiously. And if it was Monty's cork, a good thing. Don't like him, never have.
By Jove, you're right, Ferdy. Someone's landed him a facer at last. Take a look at his jaw.
Yeah, wait a bit. There's something devilish queer about this. What's that sword stick doing? You don't mean to say...
Ask Sir Montague. Ask him to tell you how he drew steel on an unarmed man.
Yeah, hear that, Sherry? I told you he was a bad man.
Mr. Tarleton very kindly knocked him down because he said such horrid things to me.
I'm much in your debt, Tarleton. And what, my buck, did you say to Lady Sheringham before I choke it out of your lying throat?
You'll regret it if you touch me, Sheringham. If the events of this night were to become known...
Oh, Sherry, promise you wouldn't get into a miff. Won't do a bit of good. Got to stop the fellow's mouth.
I'll stop his mouth and he'll never open it again. Damn you, Ferdy, let go. I'm going to tear that ugly customer limb from limb. And if there's anything left of him by the time I've done with him...
Not in front of the ladies, dear boy. Shocking bad talk. Besides, it ain't necessary. George wants his blood. Dash it. Why shouldn't he have it? Do him good, poor fellow. But to put a bit of heart into him.
If there's to be any more fighting, I shall have the vapours. And so I warn you. I'm sure I've had more to bear at Sir Montague's hands than Hero, and if I am satisfied, I do not know why she should not be.
Monty, I'd like to have the chance to pay off a certain score with you, but I fancy Ferdy's right, and it ain't necessary. George is searching for Isabella. He's likely to fetch up here any minute.
George's? For me? Good heavens.
Sir, went off in one of his pets as soon as he heard he wasn't home, sir. Say, call on Breesby to answer for his villainy. All the same, Sherry, not sure it's such a good thing. Now, I can't think of it. I don't want George to be obliged to fly out of the country. Tell you what, let Monty go before George arrives. Pity in some ways, but there it is.
Too late!
Sherry! Good God, you here? What the...
Well,
kitten.
Upon my word, devilish queer place to run into you people. You're very obedient, kitten.
Dear girl, I'm so glad to see you again. I've been in such a scrape, and Isabella got into a scrape too, through Sir Montague Reesby. But then Sherry came, and everything is all right and tight. I mean, everything has ended happily.
Lady Sheringham and mistakes. I can explain. The most lamentable accident.
Yes? You got Miss Milbourne into a scrape, and you fancy you can explain it, do you? Not to my satisfaction, Reevesby.
No, you don't, George. By the looks of it, someone's been there before you. Let be, man. Let be.
I've been wanting an excuse to call that fellow out these 2 months, and if you think you or anyone else can stop me now, I'm...
George! If you call him out, I will not marry you.
Isabella? Do you mean... Can you mean...
Oh, George, for heaven's sake, take me home. I'm so tired and hungry, and I never cared a rap for that odious man. No, nor for Seven either, or Sherry, or anyone, save yourself. And I'm sure I don't know why I care for you, for you're just as odious as any of them. Only I do, and I will marry you tomorrow if you like.
If I like.
And the best of it is, he won't dare show his face in town for months in case he should run into George, and George's feelings should get the better of him.
Have you let that fellow go?
Yes. But really, it is much better that he should go. For if you were to shoot him, you'd have to leave the country, and then you could not marry Isabella. And he will not dare say a word about what happened tonight, because of what we might say about his wounding poor Mr. Tarleton. And besides that, if he spread a horrid scandal, I dare say Sherry would not mind my telling people about his baby. For he has one, you know, and he would not give its mother a penny to provide for it. And it is Sherry who has to do so, which is a great deal too bad, for it is not Sherry's baby. Indeed, I wish it was. At least, I mean, I wish it was mine, because it is the dearest little thing. Oh, Sherry, do you think...
Yes, I do, kitten. Not now, for the Lord's sake.
Bad Tom. Not quite the thing, that fellow Tarleton present. Very tolerable sort of fellow, but almost a stranger, so talk it over later.
No, by God, you won't.
Eh? Good heavens, sir. No, by God. So I won't.
The part of Hero Wantage was played by Ellie Garnett, and Sherry, Lord Sheringham, by James Frayne. Isabella Milbourne, Annabel Mullion. George, Lord Rutan, Ian Hughes. Gil, Paul Panting. Ferdy, Julian Ryan Tutt. Jasper Tarleton, Simon Russell Beale. Montague Reevesby, Nicholas Bolton. Lady Saltash, Mary Wimbush. Lady Sheringham, Susan Sheridan. Mrs. Milbourne, Tessa Worsley. Groombridge, David Bannerman. Jason, Peter Kenny. Ruth and Cassie, Kathy Sarah. Mrs. Bagshot, Eva Stewart. Postboy, David Antrobus. Lady Jersey and Pug, Jilly Bond. Music by Trevor Allen Davis. Friday's Child by Georgette Heyer was dramatised by John Peacock and directed by Ned Shiey.